You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Vic Carucci, Michael Regei, Football Friday, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Appreciate the fact that you are hanging with us today. It is time right now to go, and by the way, before we do this, we had been promising and promoting and excited about the idea that Sal Palantonio, a frequent guest on the show, would be on today. Well, and this was just one of those duh things that we should have figured out from the beginning. When the DeSean Jackson story broke that he'd been released by the Eagles, and when you know, if you know this much about Sal Palantonio, he is primarily ESPN's Philly correspondent, especially Eagles correspondent. He covers the NFL at large, but he's based there and used to work actually in newspaper down there, and he follows the Eagles very closely. He is the most wired Eagles guy that ESPN has. So that story breaks. He's all over it. He apologized to us saying, you know, you got to understand, I'm on the DeSean Jackson thing today and am not going to be able to appear today. We'll get him next week because he does want to come on. He does want to not so much answer questions, but lecture about why the Browns need to do. Yeah, oh, that's what Sal does. Sal's got a very opinionated guy, and he's on to tell the world, or at least our world, why the Browns need to take Johnny Manziel. That's what it was. He gave me this urgent email that led to this whole booking of him, but he, again, unfortunately, has got other duties, but we understand that. That's how this business
goes. Can you imagine some of the conversations between Sal and his buddy Jaworski?
Oh, my God, back and forth.
With regard to the Manziel and the quarterbacks? Wow.
Well, I covered Jaws when he was with the Eagles, and I can tell you, we had a few conversations. Some not all of them about football, too. Just he had opinions about everything when we go out to dinner. But
Youngstown, Ohio, Vic.
We'll play at Youngstown and actually from Lackawanna, New York, from Western New York, Buffalo area.
Right.
All right, Friday forecast time. Jason Gibbs, what you got for us?
Number one.
Question number one, guys. What is the one X factor that will make or break Johnny Manziel's career in the NFL?
I think it's all about work ethic. So the question about this guy, there are more than one, but a big one is coming from a family of privilege, a very wealthy grandpa who has made sure young Johnny, and I'm sure the whole family, can be extremely comfortable kind of doing what they want, those front row tickets at major sporting events and first class, you know, travel like a rock star thing that he had going for him before he became a rock star talent as a quarterback at Texas A&M. And the question is, will he work hard enough at it? He's so gifted in many ways. A lot of things do come naturally to him as an athlete. Is he going to pour in the time? And will he be a good teammate? Will he be a guy? Because I think he's an entity unto himself. I pointed this out in a piece I wrote for ClevelandBrowns.com. And I think leadership and work ethic and all of those things, all come down to kind of the same thing. Can you step out of yourself and understand that there's a much bigger thing in play here, which is the team and the hours you put in, and are you going to be the hardest worker and lead the way for your team? That's the X factor.
All of that critical without question. I'll go right to the football X's and O's of the position because that's kind of how I like to roll, Vic. Can he find ways to take what's given to him from the pocket? Can he throw that 9-yard slant instead of looking to bounce around, get out of the pocket and hit some 45-yard, throw it up in the air and make sure something good happens? Opportunity. Can he constrict himself? And, Vic, can he also be able to show that he is going to have to be able to make those throws from the pocket and be successful at doing it? So that from an X and O standpoint, I think there are major adjustments he's going to have to make in his game.
Number two.
Question number two, guys. Do the Browns add a quarterback in what is left of free agency?
I'm going to lean in the direction of yes. I would think that Rex Grossman would be the guy that would be signed, and maybe it doesn't have to happen even before the draft necessarily, because I think he's going to be out there. I don't think a lot of people are going to be knocking on his door, and I think this will be one of those signings that you can take down to that last possible moment before training camp or before off-season workouts because you can.
While I'm still a little bit surprised that the Matt Shaw situation eluded the Browns, be that as it may, I'm going to say yes as well, just because you're going to want that second veteran voice and probably someone like a Grossman who has started for a couple of seasons in his NFL career along with Brian Hoyer to be those voices for the drafted quarterback or quarterbacks you bring in. So I'm going to say yes to the getting in a veteran QB.
Number three.
Question number three, guys. After Alex Mack, who is the number one player the Browns must work on signing to a long-term extension?
Well, we're led to believe that they're working on a guy named Joe Hayden to get that done. So on the presumption that that isn't done, and I guess, you know, we haven't heard anything yet, so that one's got to be a must. Until I hear it's done with Joe, it's not done with Joe. He is the number one. I put him ahead of Alex Mack, frankly, in terms of priority to get that done. As valuable as I think Alex is on my list, I'm putting Hayden first. Then I guess I'm going with Alex Mack.
I'll go Hayden ahead of Mack as well for the reasons that Vic just stated. I'm going to be very interested, and I think we all are, to see how the Josh Gordon contract extension unfolds. Vic, they've got him for two more years on his rookie deal, so it's not a problem right now. But, you know, as another strong season, and let's hope that that's exactly what it is for Josh Gordon. And now, as he goes into year four in the 15 season, now it's got to become at the forefront of the Browns' plans as well.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that one needs close monitoring. You've seen what the receiver market is or isn't. There wasn't a huge one going into this free agency period, as we saw the results from that, because the draft obviously offers so many in the way of really good receivers. And I guess that's the other question here with the future of Gordon's negotiations. How will they be impacted, say, if this team comes in with a Sammy Watkins or a Mike Evans or some sterling top receiver from this draft, and that guy shows as a rookie, which, again, we haven't seen a lot of this, but if a rookie really takes hold and does really well and changes the landscape a little bit of the Browns receiver position to where you have another guy who's doing extraordinary things for you, how do you look at Gordon's money? And does he have to? Because right now he's playing well enough to be the top paid receiver in the league or in that category, in that discussion, based on his play. But you have the off-field thing to worry about, the fact that he's been suspended once, the fact that he could go for a longer-term suspension, and that hovers in the background. How does that influence those talks? And I think it could get very, as you said, very, very interesting with Josh Gordon's future, because this is we know he's a star in the making if he isn't already one, and this is the type of thing that will influence the kind of money that he's going to look for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this.
Go ahead, Reg.
No, that's all right, Gibbs. I jumped in on you. I'm just going to say that the strong volume of wide receivers coming into this draft, too, you got to think the Browns are going to grab one there.
At least one,
maybe more. And that, too, could have an impact, sure.
All right, guys. Question number four, final question of the day. In light of what has happened up in Northwestern with a football team being allowed to unionize, should college athletes be considered employees rather than student athletes?
Well, this one, and I heard a fascinating discussion about this on Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio a couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday. It was yesterday, actually. It seems like time has flown a little further than that. And they had Lester Munson, their legal analyst, on to talk about some of the ramifications of this subject. And what was explained by Munson very well is that scholarships aren't viewed as salaries, as compensation. They are grants and aid, and grants and aid, as defined by the government, aren't taxable.
But you
start getting into a salary, that's a different story. That opens up a whole different can of worms for payment and then taxing. And if the taxing is done on what money goes out, the last I checked in some of the small business work I've done and even some of the bigger business work companies I've been a part of, like the Browns and the National Football League, you know, they have to pay a tax on that, you know, at their end, and universities have mm-hmm. some tax exemptions that go for that are going for them, and then they take the profits of what they make from the sport, the major revenue sports like football, like basketball, and then pour that money into other parts of the of their institutions. And then when it gets involved with the state level, there's a whole different set of laws. So, you know, you're talking Ohio State or whatever, you're talking Michigan State, you're talking Michigan. All of those bigger schools are going to those state schools have to deal with a whole new set of rules. This could open up, I think, an incredible can of worms that no one has any idea, you know, what the effect is going to be. But if you start to make players, quote, employees and compensate mm-hmm. them with salaries, you know, the unintended consequences of this, as this discussion brought to light that I heard on Mike and Mike, I think it's going to be one that could end up in will end up in courts. We'll have tons of lawyers involved. We'll have political people. Can you imagine Capitol Hill when they start voting? Well, you know what? Let's rethink what scholarships are. Uh-huh. Let's not call them grants and aid. Oh, let's call them what they are. It's salary. Compensation. Let's say it's a salary now. So now it's taxable. Okay, how does that affect the kid who's not an athlete who gets a scholarship because he or she were really great students?
I wonder. I wonder if any of the young men at Northwestern that started this, the cost for an athlete, the average grant and aid is about 60 grand per year, Vic, give or take. I'm ballparking. Mm-hmm. About 60 grand per year in the football and men's basketball, the revenue producing larger sports. So even if you got a creative accountant now, right? If that 60 grand is considered salary and compensation, how are those kids going to write a $15,000 to $18,000 check to pay taxes for that?
Right.
This is going to go in directions that I don't think we don't want to go down these roads, but that's exactly what's going to happen.
I fully believe something needs to be addressed about this, because I think these kids, especially as it applies to jersey sales and other things that have been done sort of on the backs of players that generate just incredible amounts of revenue for institutions. But I mean, and you can't ignore the fact that players are producing this, and the people who are really making all the money besides the institution first and foremost, and then the people who run those colleges, but the coaches, you know, what they are able to earn as part of this whole experience, where the players are these kids who you come in and they are getting theoretically a scholarship trading sports for an education, which is what most of them do. But beyond all that, it really raises a lot of interesting questions. And as I said, just to hear one legal analyst break it down, my head wasn't spinning. I just found myself like my jaw was dropping. I was like, that's right. That mm-hmm. wow. Yeah. You know, who thought about that? So we'll see where it all goes. All right, Doug Deacon, the analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, sits alongside Jim Donovan, doing a great job on those broadcasts for this football team. We're going to talk with him next. He's going to give us his Browns thoughts, maybe some Johnny Manziel thoughts, maybe this whole scholarship thing. See what Doug has to say about that as a former scholarship athlete himself at Illinois many, many years ago. That is coming up next on this Football Friday edition of CBD. Vic and Reg with you. ESPN 850, WKNR.